wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
It has rolled around again, and we say good morning to you and welcome on this, it's the ninth day already, is it, of March? Double-check the calendar. It is March 9th, 2013, and this is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers on a slightly snowy day here at the Radio Ranch. We say good morning, John.
Good morning.
We've got John here in the studio with us. He normally calls in from Colorado, but he's up here in wild, windy, woolly Wyoming this morning. And we say good morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And so we got them all here. And I'll just open it up. Whoever wants to open up with prayer, do so, and then we'll open up the phone lines after that.
Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly today, Lord. Ask you to guide and direct us, Lord. Lead us down the path that you want your remnant to follow. Lord, we pray for a special anointing on Jason and Kyle and Richard, myself, all those that serve you. Pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray that you remember grace and mercy in your wrath. Ask for your blessings on today's coffee. Pray that our words would be your words, that you'd give your people eyes to see and ears to hear. Wake them up, Lord, all across this country and in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I'll ask a question first thing. Jason, I saw a glance of it this morning. Don't know if you had a chance to look at it, but I know Colorado was voting late last night on their gun control deals. Didn't know if you had a chance to see how it came out.
I don't know what happened with it. Call it what it is, man.
Oh, yeah.
People control.
Oh, it is
gun control.
It is people control, for sure, for sure. I saw two of their proposed bills. One was a liability bill. You know, they wanted to hold the gun manufacturers liable if somebody took their gun and used it in an unlawful way.
And the sale.
And that was
sale.
The place of sale, too?
Mm-hmm.
And that was, so that was withdrawn. And and there was one more of the seven that I saw that was withdrawn, but my printer ran out of ink this morning as I was printing. So anyway, but the rest of them, I think either four or five of them were moving on toward their Senate. I think they passed their House and off they were going. But, you know, our enemy never sleeps. They continue on. They think different than we do. They think generationally. And they just continue on.
These meetings at, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning to vote on things like this and to have these kind of meetings in Washington, D.C. I mean, there's something demonic just in that itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, amen. Well, you know, we call them lawmakers. We need to change that title. Dad always said they don't call them Congress for nothing, you know. They don't call them progress. They call them Congress.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Amen. It does.
Tell you what, sure was a beautiful drive this morning. About 5:30, there ain't nobody on the road but a couple of truckers and a couple of deer. And just... you and God's creation, it's amazing. First I was listening to the radio, and then I shut that off, and I just kind of talked to God all the way up here, and drove by where Monty wrecked there, and just like I always do, we just say, Lord, avenge the blood of our brother in Jesus' name. And pulling down into the ranch, there's mixed feelings, you know, good times and tough times, and as you drive by that cemetery, it hits you, but we just got to stand firm on Lord works all things for good for those that love him, and greater is he that is for us than those that are against us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Kyle had asked me something yesterday, and I had not seen it. I had to go research it, but, you know, we know that our God does just what you said, John, works all things for good, because we worship the one, true, the only living God, the only Son of God. And there are many other small g gods, but we do worship the only one that came back up out of the grave.
Amen.
And, the phone lines are ringing already this morning. We'll go to that, and I'll come back to that thought. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Chris in Virginia. Y'all are coming in good and clear via the shortwave. And, I was listening to the pastor earlier on the program while I was drinking my coffee, waiting for you guys to get yours. And I just had a sudden flash of insight. To people who don't understand, who have no eyes to see or ears to hear, Pastor Peters must sound like some crazy old man raving about some lost tribes by some unseen god, and his promises to them, and it just certainly goes right over their head and right in one ear and out the other. They've got no clue. And that's why the remnant is the remnant. You know?
Amen. Peculiar people.
Yes.
And so many, I got to thinking about the promises that the Lord has made to us, and it seems like it's only when we're in times like John was this morning, out in the wilderness by yourself, that you can hear that still small voice. You know, you can't hear it when you're up in the city or in the towns or when you're even in the house with all the kids screaming and yelling, you know. You got to have those times.
Yeah, I think I don't know if you looked into Agenda 21 at all. That's right from the pits of hell, too, with the United Nations. But what their goal there is to get the people who have land, who are out in the rural areas, who have that time alone with God, to congregate them all into the city. And it's happening all across this country. It's happening right here in Colorado with mass transit bus lanes and bike paths. And it's I don't know if you looked into that at all, but that Agenda 21 is a nasty.
I've been trying to tell the neighbors about it, and most of them are Democrats, and they just say, well, we're going to go along with what the government says. You
know? Yeah, yeah, that's a good thing. We're going to put in bus lanes.
And I'm sitting here just ripping my hair out. Fortunately, I'm at the end of a dead-end road, and there are lots of trees. I can spell them across the road. I went through several courses in the military that taught me how to do things the right way.
Good to hear, Chris.
Good day, man.
Thank you, Chris.
Bye.
You know, when he mentioned that, about hearing that that still small voice, Genesis 2 tells us why it's that way. You know, Genesis 1 is the creation, and Genesis 1:24, he brings forth living creatures. Genesis 1:26, he makes man, the other men. Then in Genesis 2, if you look in verse 7, verse 5, it says, "Now no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. But a mist rose from the earth and watered the whole surface." And in verse 7, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." And then God puts him in Eden. And it's because we come from the earth, and because we were made, Adam man, unlike all the other creation, Adam man was made to cultivate the ground. It says over here to work, to serve the ground. Are the two words that it shows in my Bible in the references for cultivate. And we've sure noticed that. You know, when you do get out, you know, Jason, I think of, with John talking about Monty this morning, I think about, you know, Monty's favorite spot up in the mountains and just how beautiful that spot is. And most of the spots up there, most of, you know, the places up there, and how true that is, John, the more you can get away from the cell towers and the radio, it seems like the closer we can draw to God.
Amen. Hey, Jason, why don't you, I was listening to your program last night. Why don't you, bring up that story there? Was it in Michigan where they're, copying cell phones?
Yeah, Michigan, and actually they're starting to do that in quite a few different places too. It's you get pulled over, they ask for your cell phone, they take your cell phone back and clone it, basically download all the information off of it, look over the phone. They say they can get away with it nowadays because they're using it on the rights of, well, we think that they might have been texting or talking on the phone while driving. So they use that to be able to, that's what they use to be able to get a hold of people's cell phones. But now that they've got them, they've got these multi-million-dollar machines that they plug into, they plug into your cell phone and they download everything, which takes it directly and uploads it to a server. Takes all your pictures, all your messages, all your emails, all your email account information. I mean, everything that's on your phone. And talk about an invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
It's
a good thing we don't have a cell phone, huh?
Yeah.
When they ask you.
and they're doing that in Michigan?
Yeah. Yeah, Michigan has gotten real big.
And is that just like at random stops? Basically, yeah, they pull you over for an expired tag?
They don't have it equipped in every car, but the state patrol is the ones that are using it. And they have them in a lot of their cars, and then Illinois also has quite a few of them.
And they don't feel that falls under the unreasonable search and seizures clause of the Bill of the Bill of Rights.
What's that?
Yeah.
I heard you. Yeah.
So what happens? What happens then when you say no?
I don't know. Did you see that video Betty in New Mexico sent me? I don't know if I sent it to you guys or not, but it was talking about people who were being stopped at these Homeland Security checkpoints, and they have video cameras, so there's more than one person in a vehicle, and they say, "Are you a U.S. citizen?" And they don't answer the question. And then they tell them to pull over to the secondary stop. And they say, "No, I don't think so. You know, no thank you." And it seems like the critical words are, "Are you detaining me?" And they'll say, they won't say that they are. And then they say, "Am I free to go?" And after you hassle them for a while, it seemed like they let every one of them go. Well, we know that it only takes one rogue officer to to fire shots and say you were resisting or something, but it was kind of an interesting scenario. I mean, they have the power because we give them the power, because we have the fear, and because we give them the authority that they do not have.
Yeah, it's like a dog.
Right,
it's like a dog. You know, a dog comes up barking at you. If you're scared and try to run, it just empowers the dog.
Yeah.
You know, and he's going to bark more and run after you and all that. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
But what if you stand your ground and you tell it no, and you say it with authority?
Depends on what kind of dog it is.
Well, that's true. You know, you
might have to shoot it.
You might have to shoot it. That's a good point, Jason. That's a very good point. It is. It depends on the dog. But it certainly will feed on your fear.
Yeah, they said yesterday I heard that they swore in Hagel, which is, I don't know what he is. What is he, the Secretary of State or something? Or the
He's CIA,
Attorney
isn't he?
General, maybe?
No, Hagel's CIA, isn't he? I don't know what he is.
Could be.
Something.
Anyways, apparently they swore him in on a draft copy of the Constitution, which did not have the Bill of Rights in it, so imagine that. Not that it matters, but interesting times we're living in, man.
Yeah, it is. I actually got to see one of those new armored tanks, one of those 2700 that the United States purchased.
Did it make you feel safer, warm and fuzzy, when you saw that there close to town?
No, it made me mad as can
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
Well, now down there, Jason, I've seen one down there in the little sheriff's parking lot before. Something, not that particular one, but some type of armored vehicle or something. I know I've seen one in the past down there.
They've had an armored SWAT vehicle for quite some time. It's quite a bit smaller than this new tank that they got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This thing was it was pretty crazy to see one of those. I mean, I didn't think that we'd end up seeing them that fast, because I mean, the news came out on them about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We started hearing about them, and all of a sudden, boom, here's one in less than half a block from the church. So
wow.
Pretty
maybe we could do a field trip. At 2 a.m.
Yeah. That's okay. It's there for your safety, Jason. They're just a special response unit just in case things get out of hand.
That's right. In La Porte, Colorado. The one-light town.
Yep.
Mm-mm-mm.
Well, they know the Bible better than we do. They know that La Porte means the door. But
yeah. Well, they feel that they need that.
Yeah.
You know, that's... you know, because all they have is in the physical, and they need to do everything they can to have their chariots and their street sweepers and that type of thing in the physical. So let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Miss Chris again. You got on a subject that's near and dear to my heart, armored vehicles and men in armor. The Greeks and the Romans learned something about 3,000 years ago, and that was this. Armor is no defense against fire, period. And that's all I got to say on that subject.
Amen.
That's about that. Good night.
Thanks.
Good day, rather.
Thanks.
Yeah, did you guys see, I think I sent it to you, Jason. It was in Vermont. There's this a senator or a congressman or something is proposing to fine those that do not have firearms, because the Vermont Constitution says that you will have firearms in
the state.
Yeah, in the event of an invasion.
Mm-hmm. That's because back when that was Vermont.
I think it was Vermont, wasn't it, Jason?
Yeah, Vermont.
Yeah, that was a pretty interesting story.
Because back when they started that. Vermont, in 1777, their state constitution says, whereas all governments ought to enable the individuals who compose it to enjoy their natural rights and other blessings which the author of existence has bestowed upon man. That's the preamble to their constitution. You know, they gave honor to God, and they knew in 1777, you better have a firearm to fight the Indians off, to fight the invaders off.
Right.
Whether they wore, you know, red coats or red skins, and it really hasn't changed today, has it?
except they were black.
Except sometimes, yeah. But does that matter whether they're red-coated, red-skinned, or black-booted thugs?
Not at all.
I don't think it does.
If they bleed, they can die.
That's right. What'd you have there on female dog Feinstein?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Wicked Witch of the West herself. One of them, anyway.
Yeah, it's all a little her and Pelosi, it's hard to tell.
Yeah. It's like, anyway, yeah, I was on the blaze this morning, or actually yesterday afternoon. Senator Feinstein makes a wild claim to push gun control at Senate committee hearing. And another one of those closed-door committees with the CIA director, nominee John Brennan.
Imagine that.
Yeah, Matt, yeah. And so they are talking about gun control and all this. So she is pushing, the magazine capacity ban. And so she says, she argues that it's legal to hunt humans with 15, 30, and 150 round magazines. I never knew hunting humans was legal. But, you know, they'll say this in theirs, and her quote, here's her, it says her dubious quote, "The time has come, America, to step up and ban these weapons. The other very important part of this bill is to ban large-capacity ammunition feeding devices, those that hold more than 10 rounds. We have federal regulations and state laws that prohibit hunting ducks with more than 3 rounds, and yet it's legal to hunt humans." Now, even if you just stop right there, what is she saying? Hello? McFly,
yeah, 2.2 are your eyes rounds. Open?
However, and she says, it's legal to hunt humans with 15-round, 30-round, and even 150-round magazines. Where's it legal to hunt humans with anything?
Yeah, exactly.
In their dreams, in their dream world, in their utopia, maybe, because they're not human. Remember the pastor teaching on that? They're not. A fantastic eye-opening series is called The Alien Creatures Among Us. And I'm looking at a picture of one right now.
Yeah, you are.
And her last name is Feinstein. That almost rhymes with Frankenstein.
Pretty close resemblance, too.
A creature. And that's exactly what it is. But that's what she says. Limiting magazine capacity is critical. It's critical. Because when it's a criminal, a drug dealer, deranged individual has to pause to change magazines and reload, then the police or brave bystanders have the opportunity to take that individual down. What world is she living in?
Her world, I guess.
And then she's also arguing that, she says here, during that same hearing, she also argued that a military veteran could be mentally ill and suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, and therefore should be prevented from buying the semi-automatic weapons that would be banned in her bill. So veterans, you know, the government sends you over there and gives you PTSD, and then when you come back, then, you know, they've given it to you, and then they don't want you to be able to buy firearms. It's okay if you have guns over there and can shoot the Iraqis, but they don't want you to be able to come over here and have guns and protect your family.
Shoot the ones that sent you there.
Anyway, yep, Senator Dianne Feinstein. That's about what she looks like. She always wears those high shirts that hides the little bolts in her neck, you know? So.
Yeah. You guys see that deal about the plague hitting Egypt? Supposedly huge swarms of locusts that they're comparing to the eighth plague of Exodus.
In biblical proportions, and it's headed for Israel.
Oh, is it?
Can we get a hallelujah? Well, this is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers coming to you live this ninth day of March 2013 from a snowy radio ranch, visibility about a half mile. We've got our phone lines open, 307-745-5913, if you have any comments or want to bring something up. We're talking about what Kyle asked me about the other day, so I had to look it up, Kyle. I had to kind of search it and find out, but it's a satanic saint. that many Mexicans pray to.
The Pope?
La Santa Marita. I don't speak Spanish, so I don't know how you pronounce that.
Don't look at me.
La Santa, it's M-U-E-R-T-E, Marita. And here it's got a picture of them. Statues of La Santa Marita are shown at the Masks y Mas Art Store in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Not in Tijuana, Mexico, but in Albuquerque, New Mexico. But I guess this is some just some underground god they pray to. It says, clad in a black nun's robe and holding a scythe in one hand, Santa Moreto appeals to people seeking all manner of otherworldly help, from fending off wrongdoing and carrying out vengeance, blah, blah, blah. Others seek her protection for their drug shipments and to ward off law enforcement. And so here, and that's what Kyle, is that right, Kyle? You had said you saw something about it, that they pray to this underworld god?
I heard that the drug people that come across the border and stuff, they pray to this underworld god, is what I heard, that they would be protected and be able to deliver their drugs, you know, without being harmed or hassled or arrested or shot or anything else, you know. And they've been doing that for years, you know. But I also heard that it's the religion, or whatever you want to call it, is spreading to just your average American citizens. You know, there's even sanctuaries or temples or something built up throughout the southern states, and it's moving north and north, and, you know, just another small G god that people are going to find some type of power, you know, demonic power.
Let's give them their wish and put them underworld.
Yeah, they can go meet them and spend eternity with them for all I care. You know, that's, and we got the phone lines ringing. We'll be right with you, caller. But that's another thing that you see. You know, Mexico has banned private gun ownership for years. And look at the tens of thousands that have been killed by roving gangs, of whether they're police or drug dealers or gangs or whatever. And the people, all they can do is die. That's all they can do. Got a couple quotes here, and we got the phone lines ringing off the hook. Let's go to them, and we'll come right back to some of this. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, Richard.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, Joe here. Thing about Vermont, I could be wrong, and it's been a few years since I've been up there, but they have an unlicensed open carry system up there.
Unlicensed concealed carry.
If it's any different, please call in and correct me, but there's not many people up there. And probably 90% of them are white people. And did you know that Vermont marble is some of the finest marble you could buy? And when I was up there, I was hiking around in the White Mountains in New Hampshire. But we were in Vermont, too. And in the restaurant, I was talking to one guy, and he said, yeah, well, the reason why it's so nice up here is because Vermont is built on rock. And I thought that was when you were mentioning Vermont a while back, I thought that was a perfect analogy.
Built
upon a solid rock.
Amen.
I think
because they can't build out there. They have to use dynamite to build anything.
Right. I think, Joe, what it is that concealed weapons, you don't have to have a license for concealed weapons in Vermont.
Oh, okay.
Well, you don't need a permit, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I guess it's similar out down in Florida, too.
Yeah, they need to make sure they are built on the right rock. So, well, mm-hmm. Joe, thanks so much for the call. Thanks for tuning in this morning.
Yep. See
you. All right, sir. And we'll see if we've still got a caller here. Thanks for holding, caller, and thanks for calling into Coffee.
Yeah, I had a question for you guys to see if you had a kind of a thesis as to why this is happening. And I've noticed it for many years, but it's getting more and more the last few years. And they say the black population is like 17-20%, but on commercials, TV shows, films, it's like 50 to 60% or more. And especially black females in high positions over white males, like on detective shows, there'll be a judge or a captain's always a black male or black female. And then they're also pushing the blacks and whites, you know, being together and marriage and everything. And I was just wondering, I'm trying to figure out why the push and what's the purpose.
That's how they've got us, the general populace, to accept interracial marriage, and how they've got them to accept homosexuality just a little at a time. You know, all of a sudden you see it on a commercial or you see it in a movie. And but I got an encouraging email the other day. It said Fox got reprimanded for not having enough black and Hispanics on, so they decided to play America's Most Wanted twice a week.
Yeah. You know, I took two of my boys in and got haircuts yesterday evening. And we walked into Kmart next door. I had to get them a couple things. And we always end up by the toys. But we're walking by the garden area, and so here's some grills. And George says to me, "Oh, look, Dad, there's a grill. We need a new grill, you know, once the snow leaves anyway." So there's a grill. So we turn the corner, and here's the toys. And I see a box, and here's a toy grill, you know, a little Fisher-Price-type toy grill. And I said, "Oh, look here, guys, here's a grill." And I look at it, and on the grill is a little black boy, and he's serving a hamburger to a little white girl. And so you're absolutely right, caller. Our enemies promote this. They know we're a visual people. They know the more we see things, the more acceptable they will be. Way back in Lamentations 5, it starts in verse 1. We read, "Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our reproach." And this is a reproach on us, and it's not pleasing to God. "Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our houses to aliens." And, you know, in this nation, you go back and read the Mayflower Compact, why this nation was founded and the principles it was founded on. It was not founded for multiculturalism. It wasn't. It wasn't founded to have black women as judges over us, or Mexicans, or any other race. But we've become a reproach, and it's because of a little three-letter word. Anybody want to guess what that is?
Sin.
Sin. So, does that start to answer your question?
Yeah, I'm just noticing it more and more.
That's because they're doing it more and more. They are. They're magazines. You know, everywhere you look, they're promoting these interracial couples, you know, huge. And not only the interracial, but the queers as well. You know, there's a big new movie coming out with two big name stars on Liberace. Liberace. And you know who's playing Liberace? You just have to look and see. But it's a couple of big name stars, and
you're
queer as $3 bills. I don't think it's Rush. I don't think it's Rush. But they promote this. You know, we you know, tune in Sunday morning. We're going to talk about this Bible series that the History Channel is putting out. And, you know, it's an epic series, and it's exciting. It's just not biblical.
Yeah.
you know, and they do the same thing in that. You know, Samson.
Yeah, it's black.
Is as black as the Ace of Spades. And, of course, it looks like, I saw just a picture, it looks like Delilah cutting his hair, and she's white. Hmm. And you know, God is racist. God, we read earlier in Genesis where he created man. He created the black race, and he put it where he put it, and he called it good. And he created the Chinese, and he put them in China, and he called them good. And he created the Japanese, and put them in Japan, and called them good. And he created Adam and put him in the garden. And even though he sinned, you know, he called it good. And he wants the whites to be white and the yellows to be yellow and the blacks to be black. That is the character of God.
Kind
after kind. You know, my 8-year-old can understand it. Bluebirds marry bluebirds and have little baby bluebirds. And redbirds marry redbirds and have little baby, you know, and it's a daddy redbird marries a mommy redbird and has baby redbirds. And they understand that. But we try to push and promote, our enemy does, and then they make us twofold more sons of hell in pushing and promoting it as well.
Praise God you got eyes to see and ears to hear.
Yeah, that you're seeing it out there.
What happens to all the kids, though, that come out of the interracial marriages through no fault of their own?
Well, the Bible says that any people that will honor God is blessed. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I think that applies to blessed is the children, blessed is the daughter, blessed is the son, whose God is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know? And I think they can be blessed. I know that any people are blessed if they will serve the Lord Jesus Christ, if they will follow his commandments, if they'll do like we're told to do, turn from their sin, turn from evil, and seek and follow him. I mean, somebody correct me if they think I'm wrong or if I'm misstating something here, but the Bible says that any people, you know, are blessed
if
they follow him.
We don't really know a lot of that either, because we've got the Bible was written to us as a people, and you know, so we don't know what's going to happen to them down the road. I mean, Bible was given to the Germanic, Scandinavian, Kindred, and Celtic people,
right?
To the descendants of Adam,
12 right. tribes of Israel. Yep.
Yep. You know, the it goes all the way back to that covenant with Abram and Abraham. You know, God told Abram, changed his name to Abraham, and he said, through your seed, I will bless the entire world. Okay? Now, the...
That happened, Richard, when Jesus Christ died on the cross.
Yeah.
You know, because when the pastor brought out, and I don't know what series it was, when he brought out the fact that he purchased the whole world to get his, you know, his precious stones, his sheep, you know, when he had to purchase the whole world, that you know, that brought a blessing, you know, attainable to the world that was never attainable before, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, like Jason says, you know, there's so much of that's part of the story that we just don't know, you know, but there are blessings to be had now.
Right.
Now what those blessings are, you know, that's still up for debate, you know. I mean,
right.
We know there's different levels, we know there's different, you know, different areas, you know, there's outside the courtyard, there's, you know, I mean, there's lots of different places, you know, and there's just a lot of unknown parts to that, you know, and part of the story that we're you know, part of the question, I should say, and you touched on it a little bit, Richard, was they come to kill, you know, and steal and destroy, you know, and yes, you know, it's coming upon us because of our sin, but they're feeding on our sin, and they're helping us, you know, helping us to, for the destruction to come upon the white race, because they want us not to be a white race anymore.
Yeah, right? they come to destroy us. That is our enemies and the enemies of Christ's intentions.
Well, you got to read Nehemiah and Ezra too, you know. Put aside your foreign wives and your foreign children. So
yeah,
we have much to learn.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, thank you. And the phone lines are still ringing. Let's go back to them. Good morning. Thanks for calling into Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, this is Chris in Kenosha. Yeah, I just want to make some comments. I guess you guys kind of covered it too when she asked why they do that. Is pretty much destroy the races.
Right.
They don't want anything. They don't want anything pure at all. Now the Bible does say the offspring of an interracially mixed couple is pretty much an abomination. If you look at the medical science behind that, it's their genetic code's all messed up. I know it's all over the country now, and you can just look at the kids of interracially mixed couples. Most of them are on Prozac by the time they're 2 or 3 years old. You know, I mean, it's just and then that causes welfare problems. They can tax us and destroy us that way. It does all kinds of things. Just total evil vileness is all it's about. So,
yep.
Yeah, I just want to put those few comments out there. You know.
Thanks, Chris.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Yep.
All
right.
Yeah, we probably don't even realize how many ways that affects our nation.
Mm-hmm. Amen. It's
our people.
Yeah, it's not.
But they do. The enemy does.
Yeah, they do. They
they understand it.
It's
yeah.
It's like, you know, they just throw a monkey wrench into the mix. It is. It just, it's not. It makes things not the way God intended. Absolutely. Let's stay with the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. Am I on?
Yes.
I'm calling to apologize to Richard. I spoke with him a couple of weeks ago about a video called The Harbinger, and he had told me that that was by a
Jew,
a Jewish fellow who wasn't a good guy, and I got a little upset, and I think that I was offensive, and just wanted to call and apologize to you, Richard, and I think that the information that I was seeing was valid. I do think that Obama is the Assyrian who has been sent to rule over a hypocritical nation, as we see in Isaiah chapter 9.
Sure. That certainly fits. And no, you know, apology accepted. No offense was taken. We learned that from our pastor over years and years, is that the enemy gives you great stuff.
Right.
They give you great stuff. But, you know, and again, to quote the pastor, rat poison is 98% cornmeal, but it's that 2% that gets you. And, you know, we have to, we're hoping to have this out in pamphlet form here in the next month or two. A simple shibboleth. And one of the shibboleths is Jesus Christ, the name, but recognizing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so, you know, it's like this Bible series that is being put out, this epic Bible series by the History Channel and by Hollywood. They deny Christ up one side, down the other, from Monday morning to Sunday night. They deny Jesus Christ and they curse him every chance they get. So do we think we're going to get a true Bible story from these people?
Well, they'll show them crucified, but they ain't going to show them resurrected.
No,
that's
no,
what they tell you
they, and even if they do, they're somehow, you know, they twist it. It's not biblical. And it's the same thing with this story. You know, this movie, and it's big, huge. It's the big, huge book, and I've seen it on all the Patriot websites. You know, this is what's happening, the Harbinger, blah, blah. And you know, we've got our Bible, you know. We have our Bible. It's enough. Now, we get other things, you know, like from the Book of Jasher and even from the Apocryphas and things like that. But, you know, the Bible's enough. I
agree 100%. I would like to interject that I think that the man plagiarized the work because I'm remembering back in around 2003, 2004, I was watching on YouTube and there was two young white men who walked across the country with the exact same message, that this was the fulfillment of the 9/11 was the fulfillment of the bricks have fallen down, but we rebuild with hewn stones, which was quoted by the politicians as a verse of consolation when in all actuality it was a condemnation. So these white guys walked across the nation, literally walked across the whole country, got thrown in jail in different states, and were preaching that this was the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9. I think it's verse 10. So I think the man plagiarized the work. And the other thing he did was when he presented it on his video, he didn't state, he started a verse too late because he didn't tell who this was to. He didn't say who the prophecy was to, and it was to Ephraim, which would be the northern 10 tribes. That's obviously a single tribe, but it's also
representative.
Often referred to as all 10 tribes in the north. So he didn't mention Messiah and didn't say that it was to Ephraim because I think they want to keep our identity hidden from us. But nonetheless, I do believe that, I mean, we've had a lot of bad presidents, but they've all been our bad presidents. And this is the first time that a foreigner has ruled over us, which is the same case with the northern 10 tribes with Tiglath-Pileser. The third, who was the Assyrian that verse was talking about. So I think prophecy is cyclical, and I think that it is, fractal, so that it continues repetitiously throughout time. because it's the word of the Almighty, and his word is everlasting. So I just wanted to call and apologize to Richard. I'm sorry about that, brother. And I accept your rebuke, and that's all I got.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
And still got one phone line ringing. Caller, thank you for holding, and welcome to coffee.
Hey, good morning, guys. George.
Good morning, George.
Hey, good morning. Me and my wife listened to you guys this morning, got a big amen from out here. The interracial topic and the Bible topic, too, about that little movie story thing coming on History Channel. But I remember you saying something about walking through the store with your kid through the, or child through the toy aisle over there. And it reminded me about 2 months ago or so, I bought my son a toy cat gun. And we've been going in every week and getting new caps for his gun because he's been shooting them. And it seems like every week we go, it's getting less and less caps. In the past 2 or 3 weeks, we ain't even been able to find caps at all. Are they trying to take cap guns and caps too? Or
you bet, or, you they are.
Probably.
I don't know if you saw it, but there's a story there. Where was that at? I don't remember. But anyways, some little six-year-old, I believe he was eating a Pop-Tart, and he
at school.
Yeah, and he chewed it into what resembled a gun. Said he was making. Mountains, and teacher saw it,
another student. That happened here in Colorado, and it was another student saw it, and didn't even look like a gun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and anyways, they suspended him, and now they're giving the children that were exposed to this Pop-Tart,
counseling and therapy.
Yeah, they need counseling and therapy, yeah. So... Don't worry, George. We'll set you up some counseling and therapy so that you don't want to buy cap guns
right.
and caps right. for your son.
But yeah. What the and then that counsel from the world would say, well, you know, what you can do is if you go one aisle over, you know, we have some little baby dolls over there, and that's probably what your son needs to be playing with. You know, now, we wouldn't recommend that, but you know, the world would.
I think I'm just gonna have to buy him a .22 or something.
There you go.
Yeah, of course.
Good luck finding ammo.
Yeah, you can't find caps for that either these days. But
I got a few of them laying around.
There you go.
Practice with them, I guess. So, all right. Well, you guys have a good morning.
Thanks,
yeah,
George.
You too, George. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye.
Well, some interesting phone calls from one end of the spectrum to the other.
Yeah, it won't be long. They'll be having some. Transgendered G.I. Joe or something, I'm sure. That'll be good for target practice, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. Well, you know, a couple other news headlines real quick as we have about 10 more minutes here, but something that caught my eye this week. Most New York City high school graduates need remedial help before entering the New York community colleges. And basically, they start out this article talking about... you know, some special needs kids, which kind of it might be understandable, okay? But the bottom line,
something wrong with you.
Yeah, but the bottom line is, nearly 80% of New York City high school graduates need to relearn basic skills. No, they need to learn them because they haven't learned them in the 12 or 14 years they've been in school before they can enter the city university's community college. So, you know. They're getting all the way through school. They cannot read and write.
Yeah,
you know that's really what it's going to be.
After pill, and
they know about you know, hold your gun sideways to shoot like the gangster and stuff like that. They certainly know about that, and there's no big deal. You know, that's just that wasn't headlines. You know, I had to dig for that one. Well, the phones are ringing again. Let's go back. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, Richard. Cal here.
Good morning, Cal.
I'm kind of giggling about holding my gun sideways to make better shots. Anyway, I'm glad to hold it so I can just squeeze the trigger.
Cal, it's a genetic thing. You have to be a different... Yeah, you can't... that doesn't work for our people.
To understand that that lady's questioning about mixed-race marriage and all that, and the problem of getting of it, remember that rabbi in 1953, I think it was back in Europe somewhere, had assured his fellow Edomite, so-called Jews, that there was the last generation of white men who were going to be born, and they'd be all over with because they would not allow white men to marry white women and vice versa. But anyway, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, here's God's word. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons. For surely they will turn your sons away from following me and serve other gods.
Yep.
And anyway, the law of God, according to the scriptures, has been written on our hearts. That's the Anglo-Saxon and basically Germanic, the white race called Israel.
Amen.
And that's the way it is. And you're either going to follow God's law or you're going to pay the price. And the poor children that are born out of those mixed marriages, they got a hard road to go because now they're limited into their prospects for a decent, happy life, even if they are born again. Even if they are born again. Anyway, I think that should put enough light on that. Just stay away from that kind of nonsense. Follow God's law and behave.
Amen.
Thanks, Cal.
I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Cal. And, you know, that applies to so many places.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
I was just thinking, Richard, how the pastor used to say, you know, about just any child or any young person that would sin, you know, you can't be the diamond you would have been.
Right.
You know, I mean, you might be able to still be a diamond, but you're not ever going to be to the level that you could have made it to.
The right. Brilliance, yeah.
And
yep.
Yeah.
Good point. Phone lines are ringing off the hook this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Hello. Good morning. Yes.
Richard, it's Elliot and to the rest of the boys.
Good morning.
I just wanted to make a real fast comment. It is so wonderful to hear people speaking about what is obvious truth and what is going on in this, upset, crazy world that we're living in. And I guess it's our kids that are going to pay for all this, but you're doing a great job, guys. It's so nice to hear people talk honestly. And as Pete would say, he doesn't talk about the political, he's not worried about the political correctness. It's great, guys. Keep up the wonderful work.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great weekend. All right. Thank you. You know, I got a note here from the guy we get bulls from. He sends out a little devotion on first thing on Saturday morning. And it's called Taking the Easy Way Out. And I think it certainly applies. It applies with this last caller. It says, I love buffet lines, going down to the buffet, because I can load up on all my favorite foods. I was going through a buffet line the other day, and I came to a large bowl filled with some very disgusting-looking and unidentifiable mush. When I asked the manager about it, I was told that the bowl contained food that had already been chewed up. The manager said, yeah, we have people on staff who chew the food for those who are too lazy and or too busy to chew the food for themselves. Now, that's pretty disgusting, and, you know, like he says here, it's not a true point. It's not a true story, but it's to make a point. Your modern-day churchgoers are biblically illiterate. They have somebody else discern the word for them, and then they just believe it. You know, had a caller this last week on Thursday asking about, well, what does, you know, the there in Acts, what is it, Acts 10 and 11, about, you know, Peter's vision. You know, all foods are clean then. And so we read through that, Acts 10 and Acts 11. And, you know, Peter even says in it that after the vision, he was greatly perplexed. But if you read the word, you'll see that. Don't take my word for it. Read it, Acts 10 and 11. And then a little bit later, as he's preaching to these Gentiles, he realizes, oh, wait, God has called, you know, I'm not to call these men unclean. And two more times, he explains that out. And so if people would just read their Bible, there it is. Now, of course, it comes into, you know, the fact that you do have to be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit so that your eyes can be open to those type things certainly plays into that. But when I saw that, you know, this today is not the day, now is not the time to just believe, you know, what Brother So-and-so tells you on TV. hey, don't just believe point blank what we tell you, but we give you scripture verses where you can go read it, and you go read it in the Bible and see if you want to believe what God says. You know, Cal read God's word says don't intermarry. So guess what? Don't intermarry. You know, his word says that homosexuality is an abomination to him. It's a sin. So guess what? It is. Society can change all at once. The president of the United States, the abomination himself, can go to California and say, oh, you know, California, you need to be better to these gays and queers. He can do that. That's society. It's not godly, it's not biblical, and it's not right. It never has been, and just because society does it doesn't mean that it is.
Yeah, I was listening last night, Jason and Paul on Vibrant Vibrations, and Jason brought up an interesting point, and I think it's Holy Spirit inspired to bring it up even right now, is those of you that count on your internet to listen to Scriptures for America and, you know, truth, I would say you ought to make plans to get yourself a shortwave radio, and they're not much money, and we got that new antenna that I think Jason just found, and we got that advertised in the Dragon Slayer, and because the one thing that'll go down first will be the internet. Shortwave will have longer, and we're actually working to make provisions to try to backup generator that so we can continue to proclaim the truth to the people no matter what the situation is. So take it for what it's worth, but I just felt the Holy Spirit inspired to let the remnant know that now's the time to make those kind of provisions, and it doesn't take a lot of money to do it. So,
amen.
Yeah, make sure you got a Bible and a concordance, and, you know, in case you're living on candlelight sometime, and you can at least look at the Word of God.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Richard made an interesting point, too. I'd say that when you... I just forgot what that interesting point was.
It must not have been too interesting, huh? Well, we are running out of time, guys. So we,
I'm still thinking about Rush Limbaugh playing Liberace.
Oh goodness!
Got any closing thoughts, Jason?
Not in 3 minutes.
You got four.
Yeah.
Come up with something.
Well, we invite you to church tomorrow. You can join us at church, going to scriptures4america.org. You can also tune in on that shortwave radio. And, but 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, join us for a little something different. First thing, scriptural review of the news. Take a look at that and then let us know what you think. You know, it's a work in progress. And then we're going to have some good Holy Spirit inspired singing, some praise music. And remember, in God's way, it's the praising, the singing that always activated the power of God, that always drove him to wipe out our enemies before us.
Amen. Minstrels went before the...
Absolutely, they did. And that is such a very important part of your Christian life, of your Christian walk, of our Christian walk. It is. You know, many times we just forget about it and say, oh, well, let's get a couple songs over and move on to communion. No, that's a very important part. It truly is.
Keep Shannon and I in your prayers, too.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And then we will certainly, again, don't forsake the fellowship. Join us after that for communion and for a Holy Spirit-inspired message. So, well, men, thanks again for joining us. And remnant out there, know that we do pray for you daily, and we sure covet your prayers as well.
God bless you, brothers.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, they high.
Ride them more, stay high. they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
Move it, move it, move it. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.